Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
In the dark, I fed my dreams. Permaculture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Permaculture, B-I-M-B, I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bring a change.
Welcome to episode 362 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Oh yeah, good to be here with y'all. Episode 362, man, I can't believe it's been that long already. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twoldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Soil Savior. That's how we're cleaning up Western North Carolina, along with some of that biocomplete compost. Just made a relatively, well, for us, it's a big purchase for a way to be able to make us, how do I say it? Do this even more efficiently, because I got people, got a lot of old timers out here reaching out and they need help. And to do it the way I do it, I'm going to do the best I can trying to describe this to y'all. But to do it the way I do it means that I got to take the compost, get it from the barn, go out there, put it in a bucket, take it from that bucket, stick it in a 400 micron pouch, run my hand through it. And when it's cold out, that's not comfortable. Run my hand through it and try to extract the organisms. And then for each bucket that I do, I usually go through that about 5 times. Even though the compost we have, I could probably get away by doing it once. But I'm all about pee for plenty. That's the nature of a U.S. Army sapper. So I got a device, and I probably could have asked these folks to give it to me. But I think it's important that I buy this stuff, because it's important. I mean, they didn't give me a discount. They didn't give me anything. So I'm going to try this thing out and see if it's not going to be the cat's meow. And I already know that it's going to work great, and it's going to save me tons and tons of time. You know, something that I'm sorely in need of right now. That's in fact, the biggest reason why I've been unable to do any videos as of late is just trying to keep up with the things that we have around here. And I thought it would kind of ease up a little bit, but no, it's actually kind of speeding up a little bit. But hey, if you want to be able to do it in a way that's a little more manageable, if you don't have your compost squared away, and even if you do, it's going to help. It's going to be that Soil Savior product. So we got it down below. And William, you're trying it out right now, huh?
Yeah, I'm testing it out on the 3 raised beds I have out in the backyard. And I was talking to Emily, my wife, earlier about building some more raised beds, just because they're, I don't know, you just never have enough gardening spaces, I think. But yeah, I was going to build some more, and then that would be really the test, because the raised beds that I have back there right now have had some level of remediation so far, like with the chicken tractor on steroids compost, but they haven't had any like biocomplete compost or anything. So I want to try it out on just like bagged soil, like the worst case scenario soil possible.
Yeah. See, what we found out essentially is that the cool thing about that Soil Savior deal is that it has a bunch of microbes that we don't have. In fact, it's dealing with primarily extremophiles that are sourced from certain parts of the planet. And this is why it comes in like 7 or 8 different things. You got to put them together, because when you put them in an aqueous form, then they come alive. Well, it's an entirely different process than what we use. And what we're finding out is that when we mix it with our extract, man, we got some serious recovery going on. So yeah, it'll work. It'll work great to clean up whatever toxins are out there. And because these microorganisms that he uses in there are primarily facultative, you know, they're only going to, well, son, you want to explain what a facultative organism is to everybody out there?
a facultative organism is in the in-between stage. So you have anaerobic, which is less than 4 parts per million of oxygen in the soil. Then you have aerobic, which is 6 parts per million or higher. And then you have the facultative stage that's in between 4 to 6 parts per million. That's where some like organisms love to thrive, like actinobacteria, for example. They thrive in that that facultative stage. And actinobacteria is important depending on what you're trying to grow, like brassicas.
Yeah, son, I'm glad you pointed that out, because it's not necessarily a bad thing. But the cool thing about these facultative organisms is a lot of them are below what we're even able to see at a with a regular microscope. In fact, I think you'd need an electron microscope to see a lot of these guys. And the cool thing about these types of facultative organisms is that they only come alive when they're needed, and then they go dormant again. Well, if should ever the situation arise again where they're needed, well, they'll come out of dormancy. So, you know, a lot of what we do is going to be on the aerobic side of the equation. In fact, all of it's on the aerobic side of the equation. So we put in these facultative organisms, and if there is something amiss in the soil that you're not addressing, that's when these guys come alive and they do what they're supposed to do. So we'll have to get Dr. Will back on here and talk about it a little bit more. But we have done the test where we've had contaminated beds. We had one control. We had 3 with Dr. Will's stuff, 3 with my stuff, and then 7 with both of them combined. And the results have been absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, didn't mean to go on about it so much there. But, hey, if you need it, there it is down below. Want to also give a hat tip to everybody in the chat right now, but especially Denise over there at Renewed Homestead, who, you know, handles, make sure everybody stays in line over there. You know, that every once in a while, it seems like every time she can't make it, there's some fool in there tripping in the chat. So, you know, the deal, don't start no SH and there won't be no IT, or Denise will be putting them. She'll be putting that boot on that 4th point of contact that we used to call in the in airborne school. So anyway, farm news, bone sauce. Finally, I had a chance to make some more of it, and should be on the website right now. So I was able to get some of that stuff down, and here we are, first day of fall, and the leaves have been coming off with a quickness. And actually it has been or at least where I live, for about a week. Now, we were in some higher altitudes over this last weekend doing some work that we'll talk about, I think, maybe next program. Maybe we can talk about it as far as what we've been doing behind the scenes. And a lot of it, I think some of you folks are absolutely going to love. I will say that it's going to involve major, major healing. And I ain't talking the Marvin Gaye type, although it could be if you're so inclined. So, yeah, we're going to talk about what we've been doing behind the scenes and what has been what we've teamed up to do. And it's going to be a year from now before it actually kicks off. But yeah, we've got a lot of moving parts and pieces going in right now. So I think a lot of you folks are going to dig it. So bone sauce is out there. Got leaves falling. Potatoes are still in the ground. Still haven't had time to get out there and get these guys up. So I know. I mean, for us to sit here and leave food in the ground. But I'll tell you the one thing I have been on top of, though, is that every single day I always make sure I eat. Well, a majority of what I eat comes off the farm. We're out there. I mean, I'm picking lettuce every single day for my breakfast. I'm eating, you know, eggs, lettuce. Believe me, there's something in there that some animal gave its life for, but it's probably in the form of some steak or sausage or whatever. So I'm eating as local as I possibly can. And whatever I can't get here, I'm trying to get locally. So there are things I don't have, like dairy products and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a lot of weirdos around here, but you can, in fact, get some good dairy if you go to the farmer's market. So we try to slip in there as often as we can. Well, as little as we can. I think we spent 10 minutes there last weekend, knowing where everybody's situated and the things we want. So we pick up our dairy there. And, I've been doing, a pretty good job of eating as locally and as on the farm as possible. So, yeah, but the crazy thing is, man, I haven't even had a chance to get out here and fool with these potatoes because I was going to film it. I'm not even sure I'm going to worry about it at this point, but been meaning to do some front porch talks, kind of get into some of the stuff that's going on right now, maybe bring up some issues that a lot of folks aren't thinking about. So other things we got going on, we got very, 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 very happy sheep. I think a couple of them are going over to Ben and Denise, and then the Marine pilot that I know, apparently he's not going to need one of those. And I think the rest are going to go adjacent. So the land. So You know what, folks? It's really, really awesome when you have a network of folks you can work with out there, especially when it comes to animals like sheep or cows or some of the others where you want to cross genetics, where let's say you don't necessarily want to keep a ram on your place. What I normally do is if the ram comes here, because I don't want them breeding at certain times, honestly, they're going to figure it out in nature, but I really don't want to have a baby coming around in the dead of winter. And that's, no, my luck, that's exactly how it'll go down. And frankly, that's the way a lot of people do it on purpose. I'm not one of those guys that do it in accordance to how Joel and Greg Judy do it. I want to try, if at all possible, mimic nature. So, Sam, when would a deer have, or most wildlife, when are they going to have their young?
In the spring, which, yeah, with me, it never made sense either why people would calf in the dead of winter. Or you could calf in spring where the mom's getting that spring flush, so plenty of milk production. Easier on the calf, less cold temperatures that they have to stay warm against. It just makes more sense to go in the spring. I've heard explanations for why they calf in the winter before. Not once has it ever made sense.
Not once. Ever since we lived back in Kansas, I never heard anybody give me a solid reason that made sense why, but everybody did it that way. It never made sense to me. And then, you know, reading Greg Judy's first book when we were first, well, it was long after we first got into it, but he had made the same cases in there. I remember talking, and they would laugh me to scorn when I would talk to other guys. They're like, oh, that's what we do. I'm like, no, it doesn't make any sense. You're going to do it. You're going to feed them even more hay, which is going to cost you money. No wonder why most people are broke doing this. So if you can, that's why I would prefer to not ever have any, like when it comes to the sheep or whatever. Okay, if I got, what is it? I got three, maybe four rams out here. All of them seem like they're going to be really, really solid. Well, Ben and Denise need to cross up some genetics, and I got a Greg Judy descendant sheep. His dad was a Greg Judy ram. And so now we got the best of these genetics. And plus, they're indigenous to these mountains, so it's not like you're bringing in one from Missouri and then expecting them to survive out here. Well, I already got one. So now the cool thing is, okay, my ram can go over there, work over there, use, and they get to keep him because I don't want him back. So he's probably, I don't know, maybe they'll keep him, I don't know, maybe put him in the fridge, but it becomes a management nightmare when they get in the season and you got them separated. And believe me, they will find a way out of there one way or the other, especially pigs, man. There ain't no separating them. When it's time, they're just going to get after it. But
yeah, the sheep, if you have breeding pairs, this is why in consultations I always say, like, start with feeders, and then if you want to get into breeding, because if you get into breeding right off the bat, you automatically doubled your workload if you're going to, like, manage them responsibly and keep them separated. Now that's two systems you have to move.
Right, right, and that's if you're going to do it responsibly, so that's a whole nother system. So what I would rather do is what I currently do, which is reach out to people and see, okay, I'll tell you what, you give me a ram, I'll give you a ram. Nobody exchanged any money. Nobody's out a dime. And when it's all said and done, if you want your ram back, I'll give him back. If you don't, he ain't staying. Maybe somebody else wants him, or he's going in the freezer, because I'm not looking for a management nightmare all year long. So I'll just bring him in November. And that's the ideal time I like to do it, because they got about a 4.5 month gestation period. And so I'll bring them in long enough to do what they got to do, and then either get them out or let them stick around a while, but they're probably going to go in the freezer. Unless they're really, really, really super awesome. But that seems the best way to do it, folks. That's why you need community. So let's say you got a rooster, like right now, I got a bunch of Bressy roosters that are either going to go in the freezer, or I could hook somebody up, you know. You know, it's, these guys are ready to rock and roll, man. I mean, now I got to do something with them, because once they hit 16 weeks, man, almost to that day, they're going to start fighting and carrying on. So I can't have it. But, you know, I tried a little experiment. I thought it was going to work out. Yeah, we got way more roosters than we expected. But the problem is the solution. I'm running out of chicken in the freezer anyway. That's the one meat I don't have enough of. Yeah, I know you're laughing in the background. You're like, yeah, I know you're genetically predispositioned to like fried chicken. But of all the meat out there, it's the one I like least. I kid y'all not. I would eat beef every single day of my life. Chicken is the one I like least. I mean,
or, well, lamb.
I'll eat lamb every single day. That turkey that I got from Ken and Amy at Mountainside with Ken and Amy, y'all, they got a great YouTube channel. Check them out. That was probably the best turkey I ever ate in my life. Couldn't believe how awesome that thing tasted. I mean, if you're used to buying store-bought butter balls, folks, you haven't eaten real turkey. Let me just tell you. The ones they had, I've had other heritage breed turkeys before, never one this good. I don't know what they're doing to them. They must have a Poulet Rouge type thing going on over there with their, but man, I mean, every part of that bird from the rooter to the tooter was off the chain. So, yeah, there you go on that one. So, other things we're working on in terms of, around here, there's a lot of busy work going in the background. I know I've been kind of cloak and dagger about a lot of this stuff, but there's a reason for it. But I'll probably announce it maybe this Thursday or possibly a little bit later, but it's a conference that we're part of putting on, and it's going to be much different than any other conference I think you've ever seen before. So it's going to be a combination of healers. Well, that's really all it is basically healers, whether from the soil or from the human body. And we're looking out and getting the best in the world that we can find. So yeah, we're hoping to kick that, not hoping, we are going to kick that off. Provided everything on this planet stays the way it is. My man Steve's in the house. So, yeah, everybody, if you haven't already, hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live so they can suppress us. How's it going on your end, son, before I jump into some of the latest conspiracies?
It's been pretty good. Past couple of days, I've been just constantly recording. I think today I got 3 YouTube videos recorded. Yesterday I got a whole chapter 4 done and finished. There's like 20 some sections in chapter 4 of that permaculture design course that I'm doing, but got that squared away. Banking videos for when I'm going to be out of town for the Midwest Preparedness Festival. That's at the end of this week, and I head out, you know, this week for that festival. I'm excited for it, but just a lot of prep work goes into getting out of town, especially when it comes to YouTube, because every time I go on a trip or something like that, or there's a break in the YouTube content being produced, you like lose the momentum on YouTube. That's how the YouTube algorithm works now. It doesn't matter how many subscribers you get, your next video is based on the views of the previous video and like how long ago you did it. So anytime you lose the momentum on that, then yeah, you end up having to work twice as hard just to get back to where you were. So yeah, I've been constantly in front of a camera for the past 2 days.
Well, son, hopefully you're wearing your blue blockers and make sure you get outside and offset all that blue light you're getting with full spectrum, what you're going to get from the sun. And David Zimmerman says, I'm here for the conspiracies. Well, just cool. Hold tight, bro, because I'm sure I'm not going to say anything you don't already know, or maybe I just might. But, yeah, folks, we are – son, you got some good points there. I'll be honest with y'all. I've been struggling a little bit in terms – I've never, ever – ever struggled for, hey, what am I going to film? What am I going to make a video out? In fact, it's been something of a frustration with my family, because I'll just go out there, all right, let's film this. Whatever I just happen to be doing that day, I don't put a whole lot of effort into it. I really don't, never have. And it's been a frustration for William and Michelle as well. And I'm trying to get better at that. I mean, it's been a major frustration for them because I don't plan anything, man. I know a lot of folks go through and they storyboard and they do this and that. I don't. I'm like, okay, what am I doing today? Okay, I'm going to film about it and we're going to talk about it, and that's the way it's going to roll. I just haven't had the bandwidth as of late to even think about doing a video, much less edit one, because frankly, on the editing side, as you can probably tell, I don't put a whole lot into that because I'm like, okay, man, I am here to drop the information. If that's not good enough, if you want to watch some trad wife over here acting like she's making like the, I saw that one, son, I talked about it a while ago, this trad wife doing a video. yeah, I woke. She's acting like she's got sleep in her eyes. First of all, got makeup completely done in this like ball gown or whatever it is she's wearing. Looks like she just popped right out of 1950s America. I mean, June Cleaver 101. Yeah, the kids told me they want cornflakes for breakfast, and she's like got this very demure, like laid back kind of voice, and I sat here like a complete dummy watching this. I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking, everybody's got to know this thing's as fake as a $3 bill. I sat here and watched this. Of course, I doubled up the speed, and I'm like, hold on, this woman's trying to tell me she just got up, got completely dressed, Kids wanted cornflakes, and meanwhile, 4 or 5 hours later, they're still waiting on them cornflakes. Hold on, man. I didn't just step out of the cotton fields. I'm not believing these kids. These kids are starving. From the time you started this video till now, 5 hours later, you made some homemade cornflakes. Come on. And I'm like, people are actually believing this stuff. And I know, look, there's some YouTubers out there that do good work that are, I'm telling you the honest truth, you know, there's a lot of them out there, but there's a whole lot of them that ain't. And I'm like, I just can't even believe somebody's watching this stuff. So if you're expecting me to go in here and do highfalutin editing, if you ever see that, it's because I hired somebody. I don't have time for that. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. And if you don't like it, then I guess, you know, that's, there's other channels. I'm going to start trying to do more front porch talks. But honestly, as of late, man, I can get on there. If I go live, man, they'll just flag it for anything. So I'm just trying to think about tactically, folks. I haven't run out of ideas. Trust me. If anything, I got too many of them. And the things I would love to post, like in terms of our interviews, like the one I did with Dr. Ely, we got to do over there on Rumble because they don't want you hearing this stuff. These are ways in which I know what's about to befall this nation. And a lot of you do as well. And I am trying as best I possibly can to drop as much information, because we've been in this space a long, long time, to drop as much of this information as I possibly can before the worst happens. Because I think we've seen a lot of things that are giving us indication that the fuse has been lit. And I'm not saying this as a matter of hyperbole. I'm saying this as a historian, and I can see exactly how this thing is unfolding. So what else you got going on around there, son? Oh, tell my grandbaby, grandpop is making in the freeze dryer right now. I got a bunch of pears that I put in the freeze dryer, so she's going to love her grandpa for that.
Yeah, she listens. She listens, so she just heard you say it. But something that you'd find funny is that she dances to the beginning and the end music. So, Dad, you got to put down, people have asked for it before, you got to come out with like an album, like a Pimp Cast album or something, so she can listen to it whenever. Because, yeah, she's out there. Emily might be having her dance right now. I heard her giggling in the bathroom or something. But yeah, she dances to the beginning and the end music. So,
well, I didn't know she was listening, man. I better watch. And all the other kids that are listening out there, I need to be very careful about what I say on here, because I don't want my grandbaby repeating. You know, I'm not using profanity, or at least I hope I'm not. But I mean, sometimes I get a little upset, and there ain't no telling what may come out, and I don't even remember what I say, honestly, after we're done recording. So, especially I was being interviewed the other day by Crow 777 Radio. You know, it's a pretty popular podcast. And, you know, your mom asked, well, how did it go? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, every time, as long as I can remember, even when I was doing terrestrial radio, if I've ever been interviewed, I cannot tell you anything I said. It's totally different when you're being interviewed. I don't know. At least that's the way my brain works.
Yeah, no, it's the same. Like, especially after teaching like a class in front of people, it's like, I know I put out the information, but like specifics, or, oh, a big one was like wrestling and jiu-jitsu matches. Couldn't tell you a thing that happened in that jiu-jitsu match. I just know I got my hand raised. Yeah. That's why I have somebody record it.
No, that's exactly it. It's like when you're in the middle of any kind of thing like that, when you're focused on what you're doing. Yeah, you don't really know how it went down. So, all right. So before we get into the rest of it, look, I know everybody has a lot of Charlie Kirk fatigue right now. I'm one of them. I'll be honest with you, but the hits keep coming. I don't need, man. If this weren't so freaking tragic, I would almost think, man, are we in the middle of an IQ national IQ test? I mean, son, I don't know how much of this you've kept up with, but I'm watching that polecat Alex Jones on there. Right. Saying that. Yeah. Okay. First of all, any of the nurses or doctors in the audience, I know we got a lot of them out there because I've seen you in different functions and I know you listen. Okay. So you tell me if this is even halfway believable. All right, son. And you know what? I think you would see to it too, because you were a sleep technician. What do you call them? A poly what?
Polysomnographic technician. But yeah, sleep tech.
Okay. So you tell me if this is believable, and I want you to kind of tell me if this would ever happen. Okay, so Alex Jones gets on there and he tells everybody, Charlie Kirk's buddy talked to the attending physician, and he said that the bullet entered and somehow it didn't exit. Folks, we're talking a 30-06 bullet. Y'all have any idea how much blood I've spilled in my life? I know exactly what a 30-06 will do. I know what smaller calibers will do. I'm not trying to be graphic here. I'm not trying to be nasty, but what he's suggesting is an impossibility. But basically, he's saying, okay, I'm going to ask you, son.
I already know.
Any of the nurses or doctors in the audience, you tell me if this is a possibility. He's saying that the doctor told him, okay, the attending physician told him that the bullet entered and then somehow he had superhuman bone skin. I don't know. I guess they grafted on his bone the same stuff they put on Wolverine because somehow it didn't. That energy's got to go somewhere, folks. That's why they make hollow points, okay? So it spends all of its energy inside the target, so it expands, and that's where it spends its energy. When you have a full metal jacketed bullet like we are supposed to use in the Geneva Convention, the idea is that it goes through the target, okay? So it creates injuries, but not necessarily, I mean, as if they're, it seems insane. I mean, first of all, you're there to murder one another. I don't even understand that. But anyway, son, just on that part right there, what doesn't make sense to you?
The doctor violated HIPAA. You can't go around giving other people's information out. Like, we couldn't even, we were so terrified of HIPAA that we couldn't give the patient information on the sleep study the next day. Because inherently, like, you take a sleep study, you wake up the next day, and you're like, how did I do? Every single time, I'd have to tell them, I can't tell you nothing. Because then I'm also putting myself in the position of a doctor and diagnosing whenever I'm just there to collect data and everything. But yeah, that's a violation of HIPAA. You can't be talking about, especially, it's one thing if you're doing it in a manner where you have no, there's no way to identify the patient that you're talking about. You're not giving gender, you're not giving age or names, anything like that, compared to, hey, this is what happened to Charlie Kurt. Now, there might be some loophole within HIPAA where you can reveal that information with people that have died.
Looked it up. Looked it up.
Yep.
There is no exception. I went and looked it up. So every doctor and nurse, when they heard this story, you would think, and just like HK Life says, it went downhill through the, AJ should have retired after he broke the news on the gay frogs. Downhill after that. Actually, the gay frog things, atrazine is actually legit. I mean, he just, you know, if it was Ben Swan covering it, it would have made more sense. But yeah, there is a lot to that as far as the frogs and the atrazine, because that is known. It is.
That's well. Michael. He knows.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're going to tell me a 30-06, which will bring down a freaking rhino, it will bring down a moose, the whole nine yards. So the story he told was absolutely laughable, if not tragic. Okay. So that's one thing. That's the latest that came out. That's why I'm saying, folks, this is a national IQ test, because when I saw, and I wasn't nice about it either when I posted it on X, I'm like, look, man, you really believe this, and there are a number of people that believe it. If you believe this, you need to be wrapped in the head with a tack hammer, because I don't even know how this makes any sense. You don't understand even slight ballistics in something like this.
I could get that. If somebody never has been around guns or shot anything or anything like that, I could understand how you could be like convinced that this is just what bullets do. But if you have shot a 30-06 and you believe this, what's your terminology? You're snooky stupid.
Yeah.
Dad came up with that one.
Yeah. If you are snooky stupid, and first of all, the scope on this thing was pulled so far back, whoever shot that weapon would have had a black eye. First of all, the scope was so far back, it was practically, I was like, it's who could shoot this? Because you got to have it in your shoulder. You got to be looking down the scope, and you got to have a good cheek to stock weld. What you call your cheek is going to be essentially, well, maybe not in that particular case, but when you're shooting a military weapon or something, you're going to have what's called a cheek to stock weld. You're going to have your cheek is going to be glued to the butt of that weapon. And ideally, that way you're not moving all over the place. You're trying to make yourself one unit. You're trying to be one with the weapon. So let's just kind of take stock here. Okay. So I'm supposed to believe this kid somehow, he jumped off the side of the roof, but nobody ever talks about how did he get up there. Okay. That's number one. Number two, got up there with nobody seeing a weapon. And we're talking, even if you break it down and put it in a backpack, which we've had armorers do, and one of the best armorers out there couldn't do it under 5 minutes. So somehow he has one of those Beauty and the Beast 30-06. You know, it comes to life at midnight. It walks around all by itself, just like the plates and spoons and stuff in Beauty and the Beast. So he got up there, put this weapon together out of the backpack. Okay, so scope wasn't on it. So how was the scope zeroed? Anybody's ever fired a weapon knows that you take that scope off, you got to re-zero the whole doggone thing. So anyway, got up there, put this thing together in record time, took a world-class shot that even Navy SEAL snipers and also Marine Corps scout snipers are saying is an impossibility, didn't happen. You got video of the guy running across the roof, but you got no video of him taking the shot. Curious. Runs across the roof with no weapon, jumps off the side of it. Clearly, he didn't jump up there unless we're dealing with one of the X-Men. So, didn't go down the way he came up. Gets off the side with no weapon. Somehow, the weapon walks itself out to the woods, reassembles itself because he took it apart again, put it in a backpack, supposedly, went out there in the woods, put it back together, covered it up as if nobody would ever think about it. Decides he's going to go get himself some, I think the latest one was, I mean, he went to go after, get some Dairy Queen. You know, I guess murdering people in cold blood is just hungry work, huh? Went and got some Dairy Queen and then went on. Look, I want anybody in the chat out there or email if you know. Seriously, is there one single part of this narrative that even makes sense? That's why I'm saying this is a national IQ test. I'm leaving a whole lot out here, y'all. I'm leaving a whole lot out. They gave us the whole trans thing as if we're, you know, they give us the whole trans agenda. Still haven't showed us any weapon or any of the evidence supposedly written on the cartridges, and that's what they're called. None of this stuff was actually out there. We've been told what's on there. Supposedly he wrote a letter, told nobody about, I mean, Cash Patel says they got it. Oh, I'm sorry, not Cash Patel, him and Bonji. Oh, sorry, I messed up again. It's Harold and Kumar. And like I said, they're going to do a next Stoner sequel called Dude, Where's My Evidence? Because ain't none of this stuff making sense, y'all. Not one. Find me one thing. Find me one thing in this official narrative that makes sense. Just one. And people are saying, well, why are you going on about it? Well, I'll tell you why I'm going on about it. Because it keeps happening because we demonstrate that we don't have the intellectual understanding to figure out just very, very, very simple stuff, folks. You don't need a Marine Corps scout sniper. I told y'all from day one, a 30-06 would have blown his head. Look, I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to be nasty here, folks, but I know what the damage of a 30-06 will do. Okay, up close and personal, there would have been no head. Well, there would have been a head, but that's all you would have seen. There would have been no neck. The energy has to go somewhere. We have no bullet. You know, at least in the Kennedy assassination, they decided to go ahead and give us the magic bullet, you know, the one they stuck on the stretcher over there, went through three bones, two people, and it came out pristine. Okay, they didn't even give us that. And here we are. We got people blowing up entire stadiums full of attendants, which, by the way, didn't at all appear, because I did see pieces of it. Let's not also forget the military is now using Charlie Kirk as a recruiting tool, even though the guy was supposedly anti-war. At least that's, you know, some of the latest interviews, that's where he was when he left. So anyway, don't let a good tragedy go to waste. And of course, the left and the right both do it. If you think, even though it was a Democrat quoted as saying that, but both sides use it. A la 9/11. Okay. So they use these things as a recruiting tool for a number of other things. But folks, when I'm sitting here watching this, I don't know what to call it, maybe a spectacle. I'm like, okay, did we fill stadiums when John F. Kennedy was assassinated? He was the president, if you don't know, November 22nd, 1963. Huh. Did we see stadiums filled when Martin Luther King was assassinated? Did we see stadiums filled when RFK Jr. was assassinated? Or RFK, rather, not RFK Jr.? I don't believe. What about Malcolm X? No, we saw maybe churches filled. And then did you see a political motive for the people that were there at that mic? I mean, do you think we are being played, y'all? Played up one side and down the other. And it's probably going to look like they're going to aim the... You always got to find a minority population. So now they probably have another tranny incident. Folks, there is not one part of this that makes sense. So folks were asking me, well, how did you know from the very beginning? Like, Jesus, you will know them by their fruits. What are the fruits of the people that we have had so far? What are their fruits? Everything you think you know has been told to you by pathological and profligate liars. What is their fruits? Lie after lie. They are pathological liars, meaning that they lie even when the truth would serve them better. I've known people like that. I'm sure all of you did. And just a little funny anecdote. There was a kid. I don't know if I ever told you this story, son. When he was in the apprenticeship, and every day he would lie about, I mean, it was so blatantly obvious what he would lie about. And everybody at first, it got to be kind of laughable. It was kind of laughable. And then he started coming in, and the lies would be bigger and bigger and bigger. And he would sit here and tell this stuff, and everybody just knew he was a village idiot or the job idiot. And then one day he came in and he talked about how, now this kid had a pot belly, looking like Homer Simpson. And he told us he ran a marathon the day before. I don't know why it was that. I don't know why it was that that made Todd, my buddy Todd Taylor, finally lose it. He was in the middle of biting his sandwich when he told us this at lunch. He says, somebody said, hey, you look tired. He said, oh man, I've been running marathons every day after work. And then
what?
Everybody, like every day. Like I said, this kid looked like Homer Simpson. And actually did. And he's telling everybody this. And Todd finally lost it. He's still got the sandwich in his mouth. He says, he just starts shaking his head. He says, look, kid, it's bad enough that every single day you come in here and tell lie after lie after lie. But now I'm to the point that I'm insulted that you think I'm stupid enough to believe it. You ran a marathon, huh? And so everybody just kind of bust out. And if you know guys, when you get a bunch of guys on the job, it's like, yeah, it's like the pack syndrome. I don't know, like a pack mentality.
It's forever.
So, yeah, so the guys start busting this guy's chops up one side. And so now everybody's recalling every lie he's told for the last month. Well, honestly, I don't recall that kid's name, but I know Todd. And I'm going to tell you, if that kid told me a story and the U.S. government told me a story, I would believe the kid. That's how much they lie. So whatever they tell me, doing and believing the very opposite of whatever they say has always worked out well for me. And I don't think it's going to be any different from here on out. But folks, I think, what's tomorrow? Rosh Hashanah, I think?
I don't know.
I know it's some Jewish high day. So folks, I'll be a little bit shocked. You know, we just had today in the UN, 10 more nations recognize Gaza as a state, in addition to, what was it, Ireland, Spain, and there were some other countries over there. So it's like a lot of people are starting to say, hold on a minute. We got a third of the population over there has been murdered. And nobody seems to care. Nobody. Look, I know I lose people on this, but I don't care. I'm not going to go and stand. Evil thrives because good men do nothing. And doing the right thing doesn't mean you keep a job. And it may not mean, and it may mean that I don't keep this one, but I'm not going to sit here and stand for this where you're telling me, where I'm hearing so-called Christian pastors stand up in a pulpit like that polecat Greg Locke telling us, you know, let's burn the whole place to the ground. What? That'd be like saying, son, somebody robbed the door two doors down from you. We found who he was, and we're just going to wipe out his whole family?
No, it's worse because it's, we found the guy who robbed you two doors down, but I also paid him to rob me. I also set him up and put him in a position to rob me so I could pick the enemy.
That's exactly how, look, it's called the Hegelian dialectic. Thanks, Denise. Yeah, tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. So today, September 22nd, I was like, okay, huh, that's a derivative of 11. Let's see how this rolls. Tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah. I'll be not shocked, but, you know, I'm expecting something to go down this week because you can see all the telltale signs. Definitely sometime, I think, in September. Look, This is how the Hegelian dialectic works. Looks like we're going to not get into our main topic again, but I don't think anybody has a problem with that. If you do, if you want me to skip over this and go to the main topic, let me know. And thank you very much, Tommy. Blessings to you and yours and all everybody else out there listening. I know these tend to be our more popular shows, but that's not why I'm doing it, y'all. That's not why we're doing it. I'm not going to stand for this. You're not going to do this in my name. I'm sitting here wondering, why would any of us even pay taxes at this point? This is how the Hegelian dialectic works. Okay, there was a guy named Hegel, and he's given credit for it, but it was being used all the way back, probably, we know for sure, during the time of Alexander the Great. So what, 3,500 years ago? Almost certainly done long before then, but that's where we do have a means of understanding how it unfolded. Anyway, Hegelian dialectic. Some people call it synthesis, antithesis, and synthesis. What did I say? Okay, or thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Another way of saying it is problem, reaction, solution. Let me break this down. Okay, go back to 9/11. So the powers that shouldn't be, they need to control a population. So what do? They engineer a crisis. So there's your problem. The reaction, 100% of the time, is always, they could really just rename it this, but honestly, problem, the reaction is always fear and anger. Because under fear and anger, those are your lowest level emotions out there. And Dr. Ely, I wish I when I get him back on, because I think he's going to be on every month, he will explain. I will try to make sure I remember to get him to explain. When you deal with energy, the highest level of energy you have out there is love, okay? Love. Like I have for my family, like every time I think about my grandbaby, I'm just filled with love, okay? The lowest is hate. And that seems pretty obvious, but a lot of people don't know that in terms of what you can measure from these things. And yes, these things are measurable. So, problem, reaction. And what do they get out of you? The lowest bargain basement emotion that they can get, and that's anger, fear, the whole nine yards. And then they come rolling in with the solution. Prime example. Okay, I'm something of a practical joker. Have been my whole life. Yep. Nothing cracks me up more than a good practical joke, even when they're done on me sometimes. And some people have gotten me with some good ones. I've done them all. Prime example. There was this dude named Roger. Could not stand him. And I was an apprentice at the time. And he was the biggest jerk because he knew two things were going on right now. I'm a union electrician, okay? You got to go through the hall to get a job. And he knew everybody needed a job. So he was mistreating everybody out there. Now, I had made this vow that when I got out of the Army, that the first time anybody mouthed off to me or did anything, I was going to put them through a 5-minute flurry of fists. And here I am, got a little baby. At the time, it was William. And at the same time, I'm in a position where I need this job. So I'm enduring things that I don't want to deal with. So I could, and I had made up my mind that when work got better, I was going to thread his head right there in the middle of that plant where I was working. I mean, I was going to throw a 5-minute flurry of fist on him. And I wasn't the only one. It was like a competition between me, this guy, Jimmy, and another guy. So I was thinking, okay, what's the best way to really, really get under this guy's skin? And there is a time when you can use passive aggressive techniques to do it. But I'll tell you what I did. Problem, reaction, solution. Because I was already well-trained on the Hegelian dialectic back then. So what was the problem? Okay, we're working in this factory. I used it in a different way. So I know he's got an office over here, and I knew he wasn't in it. So I got some buttermilk, okay? And I painted his walls with buttermilk inside that office, inside this plant. Now, of course, my escape mechanism was better than the one they had on 9/11. So what's buttermilk going to do after a while? It's going to sour. I had milk and buttermilk because I didn't know which one was actually going to work better. And I got this idea because my brother David, when he had my niece when I was little, I remember she spilled milk in there and it had this nasty, awful, sour smell. And I was like, huh, that'd be good as a practical joke. I mean, so I painted all of his walls with buttermilk. A week later, y'all, I remember coming back from a weekend. Oh, my goodness. It stank to high heaven. You couldn't walk down that hallway and not smell this. I walk by a little bit later. He's tossing everything out of this office in this plant. We're working there as contractors, but it gave him like a permanent space. He can't figure out where this smell is coming from. He knows somebody on this crew did it, but he has no clue who did it.
So, go ahead. My bad.
No, go ahead, son.
Hey, real quick, just to address Anhack's World of Warcraft, I'm assuming. He's saying we could go volunteer, but there's no ad revenue, suggesting that we do this for ad revenue. So we don't even monetize these live streams, because if we do, we will for sure get these things kicked off. But also, the last time I monetized a live stream, I made $3.07 and lost 2 subscribers. So we're not doing it for the ad revenue. If that's the suggestion there. I don't know. Denise, if you're able to like kick this dude, then I would.
No, I think he's wondering. I don't know what he's saying, but maybe give him a little time here. I think it's maybe miscommunication there. But the problem being is you can use the Hegelian dialectic for funny things. You can do it for bad things. You can do it for every time you see it happen in a government setting. 100% of the time, it's used to steer and control people, and almost always for very bad things. So right after 9/11, what happened? Problem, reaction, solution. Problem, you had buildings come down. You had planes crash. You had all these things that didn't add up, but nobody could see past it. Why? Because you were thinking with the bargain basement emotion, fear, anger. Everybody was upset. Now look at this whole Charlie Kirk thing. Do you think that's being manipulated the same way? Even though, because most people tune out after the first manufactured lie, the first manufactured government lie, even though the whole trans narrative is absurd, people are so invested into it now, and like I said, they tune out after the first official story, that they're still, Alex Jones and all the others, are still talking about this tranny mafia, and I'm like, okay, this is insanity, but okay, and they're still getting all the hate they can for it. When you see a whole stadium filled up, and what I see is a political rally, because for me, that was not a memorial. Son, did you watch any of it?
No. Half the time, they're just, if I pay too much attention to this stuff, then I'll get stuck paying attention to this stuff. Or I know enough to know what's going on, and knowing that they're trying to manipulate you emotionally. And then once I understand what's going on, then I usually move on to the next thing.
It's a real mess in how they are steering this whole narrative, but it will not be wasted. Meaning that if they went through the spectacle of what they did yesterday, for a guy that almost nobody outside Generation Z, for the most part, ever even, or what's the latest generation? I can't remember what it is.
Whatever my generation was, yeah. He was like a year older than me.
Yeah. So only people that even knew who this guy was in your generation. But yeah. How many of those people did you see attending his rally, his memorial? Almost none. There were people that, by and large, would never have even known who this guy was. I follow politics. That's part of what I do. It's kind of part of my job description, okay? And I want to know what these people intend to lie about. So I stay on top of it. I listen to left wing, right wing, all the way around. I want to see who's peddling what narrative. And I do it passively. So it's not like I'm like sitting there in front of anything. I'm listening and I'm paying attention. And I'm like, okay, I saw almost nobody in that crowd that represented that generation. Weren't those the people that were most, heavily affected by this guy? But that's not what I saw. What I saw was a political rally, and it was almost, I didn't even know what to make of it, where I'm seeing fireworks and all these other things going off. There's a number of other anomalies out there, but I don't want to speak to someone's grief there were some things with his wife that just didn't make sense to me.
Yep.
There was a number of things actually that didn't make sense to me. Now, people, their first reaction is to say that people grieve in different ways. Yes, I agree. They do. But there is also a point where I can detect when someone is acting. And when I feel like there's a stage production going on here, things that just don't add up to me. This, what I'm telling you, is this will not be wasted. Problem, reaction, solution. The problem, Charlie Kirk gets murdered. Right there for everybody to see. If any, and who even knows how much of that you can even believe in terms of what they've shown you? Because, I mean, there's deep fakes. There's all kinds of crazy things out there that they can do to make you think something happened that maybe it didn't, or maybe not the way that we thought. But you got all this symbolism, all these numbers, all these hand signs, all these crazy things that unfold that in and of themselves would be nothing more than an anomaly. But taken together, you got to start piecing the puzzle together. And if you think for a minute that these people, I mean, I don't subscribe, for those that are tuning in right now, it's not left or right. Not red state. It's not blue state. It's the state against you. You look at all these data centers being built. You see all this panopticon being built around us. Before I retired from doing electric work, folks, every job I did for years practically was a data center. And I had run a few of them, actually. I was the head guy in charge of at least two of them. One of them. And I'm here to tell you that they have enough computing power. They had enough computing power for everything they needed there. There is something being built here, something beneath the surface. And believe it or not, all of it comes together in some grandiose plan that's probably going to end with another great calamity or catastrophe. Folks, I hate talking like this, but I'm saying all this. What's our tagline to this show, son?
Stay alert, stay alive.
And I would not be doing my job if, you know, when people email me, and I get a lot of emails, and folks, I may not be able to respond to all of, we're to the point now where our growth is such that I don't necessarily, if I respond very short, you may have written a long thing, but if I respond very shortly, it's because I cannot spend 5 minutes reading through all the emails or I would never get anything done. So I have to be very efficient about my response. But yes, I do read them. And I don't know why people, trust me, it's my opinion is not any more valuable than anybody else's out there. Do I study? Yes, I do. Do I examine? Yes, I do. Do I have a good understanding of history? Depending on what it is, yeah, I guess I do. And I'm seeing all the historical markers line up. I told you what I thought was going to unfold in this year, and I think you're seeing the beginning parts of it. Will it settle out? Will it work out? I hope and pray that it does. But I think I used my historical backdrop to explain to y'all from the very beginning. I told y'all this before there was ever even the day, Charlie, you can go back and look at it on my X. You can go back and listen to the show. The day this happened, I could tell by what happened that they were going to try and use Charlie Kirk as what? What did I say, son?
What's his name? The black dude before the Revolutionary War,
Crispus Attucks.
Crispus Attucks, that's it.
And I said, if they have their way, now that's the way it'll start, because Crispus Attucks kicked off the death of Crispus Attucks, kicked off the Revolutionary War.
Okay? The first black dude that mattered in America.
Well, anyway, he kicked off the Revolutionary War, and I said, if they have their way, and this is exactly what I said then, and I'll say it again because it's even more important now, they're going to use him as the modern Crispus Attucks, and if they really get their way, they're going to use him as the next Archduke Franz Ferdinand, because that's really what they want. So it may be a domestic battle that kicks off, which I suspect, because these things happen in threes typically. I think before this month's out, you're going to see some great whatever unfold. And Charlie Kirk, sadly, I don't even know. I'm seeing behavior out of a grieving widow that doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I know every lady out there that looked at it that I know of, that I have had interactions with, has said, well, that's odd. I don't know how many people are looking to be celebrities at a time like this. A whole lot of things. And folks, there's a lot of things I'm not telling you about that just don't make sense. So the whole goal, I mean, I had every intention, trust me, folks, I had every intention of talking about the psychology of dependence, why people choose slavery over soil. And it all ties into this, believe it or not. I'm just not going to have the time to get into it. So what's that one saying there, son? It's hard for me to read with these glasses.
She was one of his handlers, which it sucks to say that that's a possibility. And that's one of those things that you can't just willy nilly say either. But there's a lot of evidence pointing that direction.
Signal 23 is also saying she sure seemed like an actress, you know, and not look. I know there are tells when a person is acting, blatant tells. And in fact, Amazing Polly even pointed it out. Like it was so, there's parts that have been so over the top that I don't know how to, I mean, is it a part of a grieving process? I don't know. You know, I don't know how many people were or asking somebody to do close-ups onto them at a casket. I don't know. I don't know what any of this stuff means, but we are dealing with a diabolical group of people. And frankly, I'm not even sure they're people at this point. I really don't know what they are. In fact, I'm starting to think David Icke might be right, man. Maybe there's some reptilian form that's running all this stuff, but there ain't a part. They have so little respect for us that they don't even come up with a plausible story to his murder. So that's the part. It goes right back to what Todd Taylor told that kid that day. It's not that you're lying to me. Yeah. It's that you think I'm dumb enough to believe it. But sadly, there are people out there buying this. Some people, man, I mean, I'm just shocked that they're willing to buy this narrative and none of it makes any sense. And folks, I've given you about, there's some of this I don't want to get into right now because it would, I suspect it would be in poor taste. So I'm being as cautious as I possibly can to get at some of this stuff, but it's not, there's none of this is happening without there being a purpose behind it. And that's exactly why I'm just encouraging so many people out there to really get your thinking caps on. Ask yourself every single time these idiots look, it has served me well to believe the polar opposite of everything officially told to me. Every single time they tell me to go do this, I'm doing the very opposite 100% of the time. And when you hear people like Alex Jones champion a particular thought, I'm thinking, okay, the narrative is probably the opposite. Because frankly, he was one of the biggest pushers of the whole tranny. Let's go after the trannies. Okay, been down this road before, except they were Al-Qaeda last time. Yeah. So, and then you gave me a BS narrative that anybody should be able to see through. Well, it's coming again, folks, but this is why you're going to have to stay alert and stay alive on this stuff, because it's just, yeah. Yeah, so Steve's saying the very same thing, too. It's obvious that his wife was put on stage. Clearly, she's performing her assigned role. And, folks, if you think these sort of things don't happen, I mean, I've had other people point out other things like, hey, you know, everybody goes on about Michelle Obama, how there's no pictures of her being pregnant. How come we don't have any of this woman? And you can't find them anywhere.
Junk got out of the way.
Yeah.
Her junk got in the way.
Yeah, sign language symbol. I love you. Chris. You might want to go read that again. You might go look at that sign language, that hand symbol that she put up there. That's what everybody seems to think that it means. For the longest time, you'll have to go in and look at it for yourself. But that
historically, that was curses.
Yes. Yes. Historically, that was paying homage to the not the most high, but the most low. Okay. That's what that sign meant. And of all the things that you would do at a rally like that, I mean, that's just one of many out there. That's not for the unwatched masses like us. People are going to look at that and they're going to think, oh, no big deal, whatever. A lot of other crazy symbology that went on here, too, that is beyond coincidence. Look, I'll circle back here, but my advertisers are going to kill me if I don't get to some of this stuff because they do make this show possible. So Healing for the Ages, Perma is going to get you 30% off if you go to healingfortheages.com. William and I are going to be there. Won't be speaking, but we are going to be learning, and we're going to take a lot of what we learn there. We're going to turn it back around on this podcast. So part of our journey in permaculture, preparedness, and practical living is going somewhere and get training. So we will pay money to go learn under the best, and I mean the best, in whatever it is they have out there. So we have Dr. Artis, which has been on the show. Dr. Ely, he's been on the show as well. Dr. Group, haven't had him on the show yet. He's come something of a hard guy to get on there. And Dr. Schmidt, hopefully I can get her on there too. I know that they're probably buckling down. But anyway, William and I are going to be there in person on there and hopefully get a lot of good interviews that we're probably going to have to put on the Rumble channel. So really looking forward to that. Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. I'm G'd up from the feet up, and you know that means grounded. That's 10% off. Just bought a bunch of grounding stuff today. Wave Watch.
Hey, Dad. Hey, Hey, real quick, Denise is asking what the promo code is for the Healing for the Ages.
I'm sorry. The promo code for Healing for the Ages is PERMA. That will get you 30% off. And yeah.
Off of the online ticket.
Off of the online, maybe even the in-person ticket as well. But the online thing, obviously, that's probably the best seat in the house. You get to do it from home. But the problem with William and I doing the online thing is that I won't have an opportunity to interview some of these people out here. So, and we're going to try to get them on the show. And, you know, in this time where, you know, it's people like Dr. Artis and Dr. Group and Dr. Ely and Dr. Schmidt, all these people have moved the needle in a massive way out there. And these are the kind of people I want to try to get on this show. And, you know, and then some of the cool things, in fact, Dr. Artis practically broke the internet when he talked about Trump's involvement, when he told him about the, you know, the nicotine and what Trump told him to keep this to himself. Yeah, folks, if you haven't seen that, go back there and look at that interview that I did with Dr. Artis. You'll have to find it on Rumble, I believe. Yeah, because there's no way they'd allow that on YouTube. Look at the very last, whoever asked me to ask that question, thank you very much, because that broke the internet. And I think they tried to ban it on X even. Because, yeah, Trump, you know, people's Lord and Savior out there, told Dr. Artis to keep this information to himself, even though it would heal people. That was when it was candidate Trump in between elections. Never heard that? Well, go listen to Dr. Artis tell you himself. But these are the people out there that are moving the needle in a big way. They've been marginalized, and these are the doctors that they tried to cancel. In fact, of all the people out there, when RFK Jr. was putting out that list of all the people out there to get involved in the MAGA thing, who do you think was number one on that list? It was Dr. Artis. He was either number one or number two. He was fighting it out for number one or number two spot of all the doctors people wanted to be on MAGA. To this day, I don't believe he's part of it. I don't believe he has any involvement. They haven't reached out, haven't done anything. Anyway, Wave Watch. Billy 100 will get you $100 off that watch. They're also a sponsor for the Healing for the Ages conference. So, yeah, apparently I'm not the only one who did my work on that thing. And if you saw me this weekend, if you saw me out and about, you'll see that watch on my arm. And I wear it for a reason. Every single time I'm leaving this house, you better believe it, I got it on. So, look, I was going to go ahead and get to Eric. I don't think we're going to have time to do that. I don't want to do any injustice there. But EMP Shield, y'all, if you need one, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Handle it all out there. So here's I guess this is a record, son. This is two shows in a row. We didn't even get into the main topic. So,
hey, Dad, hold on. It's on the verge. For every show, it's an option every show. I'm telling you, we should just call these "We'll See." See what happens today.
Well, I think honestly, those make the best shows. I mean, I don't like to go into anything, and it can be a frustration to the people around me. I don't like to go into anything, as I was describing in the videos. There are certain things in my life that are very, very regimented, and there are certain things like extremely regimented. Like for example, every single day, I don't do Wim Hof breathing anymore. What I do is, more of a static type breathing method, but that is non-negotiable for me every day. My Bible study, non-negotiable for me every day. Getting vitamin D every single day, naked, preferably outside, non-negotiable for me unless it's raining. And then of course I have means to do it inside. There are things that are absolutely non-negotiable, but there are other things I like to keep spontaneous. And part of it is sometimes these videos and sometimes the podcast, because I think number one is cathartic. I'm getting it off my chest. And I know a lot of you folks out there don't have anybody you can talk to about this. Maybe, you know, writing it on here. I wish we had more of a call-in show. Maybe we can make that happen in the future where folks can call in and give me your end of things. I would love to be able to do that. It sure is funny, son. The second I started talking about that, other folks started doing it all of a sudden, but that's fine. I guess some of these other folks are listening to me. But anyway, I would love to be able to make it more cathartic where more people could call in and then we talk about what's going on out there. But we'll get there eventually. Not there yet. But there's that. But honestly, the spontaneity, whatever pops in my cabeza, man, I want to be able to talk about and not be so regimented that if I feel like I need to discuss something and it pops up, then I feel the need to go with it. And so that's kind of where we, Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help my co-host out any at all, but I just I feel drawn to let everybody know from a historical standpoint why I think you better be especially aware right now. You had, like I said, I've made a joke about it. You had all these countries now recognize Palestine. So I wrote on X, I was like, okay, so you're telling me we need to be on false flag alert watch this week? I was joking, but I said it as a joke, but honestly, I'm deadly serious. These things are unfolding. We got a dollar. Look at the price of silver. I mean, I think last time I bought it, it was $23. Now, last time I looked, it was 44. Gold is busted out. So it's going, it's probably before it's all said and done, because we had a busted dollar. They got, when all else fails, like General Salanti says, when all else fails, they take you to war. That's exactly how it goes. And they're going to find some member problem, reaction, solution to make it unfold. Well, just hold on to your hat, because I got a feeling it's not long out around the corner. You got people like Lindsey Graham out there putting overtures out there like, yeah, Israel, world, you know, Israel's ready to fight down to the last American, you know. And sadly, I made this prediction before, but we have a country that we will have mothers. If this goes down the way I think it might, we will have mothers that are so brainwashed that they will think they will have done a national service by allowing their child to die in another country. And they will brag about the fact of being Gold Star mothers for a war that was unnecessary, yep, for a war in a place where we should have never been. I'll leave that to your imagination where that might be, but who knows? I'm sure we're not done with Iran. I'm sure we're not done there. And then next thing that goes off, I don't care what it is, folks, you just got to be alert. This stuff is going to get weird for sure. I know that we talk about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, but folks, hopefully discussing what these prostitutes are up to, these politicians, these pundits, a whole lot of peas in there. Hopefully that's going to be a blessing to you in whatever jumps off. Remember, if it jumps off. And I hope by talking about this, we, and not just us, but a number of others as well, that by talking about this, it makes them say, you know what? Oh, shoot, man. We got too many of them that are awake on this, man. Let's maybe try next year or something.
And then like Jade Helm. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When there's enough focus on a certain thing, then sometimes they feel compelled to wait until another time. And also the numerology and everything for these people has to line up. So when you're not within a certain, if you did all of the stuff that added up on 9/11, folks, it would blow your mind. The flight, the number of the aircrafts, 11, 93, all these other things, and all these other things that are just not coincidences that all happened on that same day. Well, when they do something of a big nature like this, it's called lesser magic. They got to, first of all, somehow reveal it to you, even in a sneaky way, whether in a cartoon or otherwise. They have to reveal it to you because they think the karma that falls back on them is going to be something that they can't bear if they don't at least let you know in a passive way what they intend to do. But sometimes when there's too much light on a certain thing, they might dismiss it. So that's why I'm talking about it. That's why we're talking about it. So anything to add, son?
No, I think you knocked it out of the park. The comments were on fire this episode. That's for sure. I think people appreciate these episodes, Dad. So I wouldn't be too disappointed about like getting off topic or anything like that. Like I said, we should just, we'll see.
I'm going to try to stay a little more on track. It's just, there's so much out there. And honestly, it might fall outside the purview of, I don't know, the description of this podcast, some might think, but honestly, if this is about preparedness, then what did we really talk about today? It was preparedness.
Well, it's not off topic. Like, it's not off the permaculture topic at all. Like, the last chapter, I'm trying to pull out my design manual right here. The last chapter here talks about society. Like, we can't have a society that's using another aspect of society as sheep. Like, we have to have a healthy society.
Well, that's exactly what we have. I mean, folks laud Henry Kissinger, and I don't understand why. I mean, the guy's dead now, and unless he repented, well, you know, things ain't working out well for him. But, I mean, this guy Secretary of State, he said military men are big, stupid animals that should be used as tools for foreign policy. He was quoted on that. And you would think an outrageous statement like that, and people would be saying, hold on, this man was our Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State. Are you kidding? Not Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, National Security Advisor. Wow. We got him in charge. And you look at some of the other quotes that have come from these other people. Folks, we are dealing with people that are running things that are, like John Lennon said right before they murdered him, MK Ultra style, by the way. You know, he says, I think we're being ruled by psychopaths. And so they had to snuff him out. We are, in fact, being ruled by psychopaths. And honestly, I think Charlie Kirk was waking up to a lot of them. I mean, it seemed pretty evident when you look at the collage of all the different shows that he was on as of late, that he was starting to have a different thought. And in fact, even told a number of people that he's afraid that if he bites the wrong hand, that all of a sudden he may not be around long. Well, you know, whatever did or didn't happen, nobody, I don't think, can say with any degree of certainty. But like I said, after watching that political rally, it reminded me, honestly, of the Tea Party rallies. Everybody back when I was, like, you know, doing talk radio pretty regular would keep trying to rope me into going to these. And I did go to one to just really get to the bottom of it. It was those Tea Party rallies. And I was like, what is this? I'd go out there and I'm like, okay, all I saw was Republicans rebranding themselves as Tea Party, but they still had the same politics. I was like, what am I looking at here? I was going to these. I went to a couple of them anyway. And I told the people at the radio station, I'm like, I'm never going back there. I'm never going to another one. And that's exactly what it felt like at this Charlie Kirk thing that went on yesterday. And I'm like, okay, I'm looking at the people in the crowd. Not one of them that I saw was in his age demographic. Not one. These were all senior citizens and people my age. I'm like, something ain't right here. You would think that stadium would have been filled with his fans, but that was not what I saw, not in any way. I saw a political rally, and I don't know that they honored that man in the way that I don't know that they honored him at all, to be honest with you, not with what I saw. And I may be getting part of it wrong. And then anyway, I'm not going to keep going on about it. The bottom line is, folks, we are living in a precarious world. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. Because honestly, I think things are about to shake up in a very, very bad way. I hope I'm wrong. History proves that I'm probably not. All right. Thank you so much for your support. Thanks, everybody out there. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, for the magic of life.